Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are discussing Season 3, Episode 11, Stop Saying Lice! And here with me, of course, is someone who tried to drink the body milk, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
Of all intros that could have been, that's actually not too bad. I was expecting far worse.
To be told that you have lice.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to drink the body milk?
Here's the thing. I have, like, experienced... No, that sounds weird. Why would I say it that way? I have purchased body butter before. So in my opinion, body milk feels like, yeah, that's obviously like a skincare thing. That's obviously like a moisturizer.
Sure.
But also I purchased body butter. But body milk sounds worse because I feel like it being super liquidy is not good. I think you want it
probably
because body butter is like thicker than lotion. Anyway,
grim.
I'm going to bring in someone who knows even more about this than either one of us does. Someone who definitely isn't a horse girl. Our guest, Sarah Ferguson.
No, I'm going to blow your mind because there's something called body yogurt, and it is like, it's the consistency of yogurt, but it's the one in particular that I tried recently was from Body Works, and it was so good. It was so good.
But is it, okay, so is it the consistency of regular yogurt or like Greek yogurt?
Like a Yoplait yogurt.
Okay, so thinner. Yeah. But that's like, I feel like the consistency of yogurt and lotion is very similar.
No, I don't know. It's something about like the cooling aspect. I mean, honestly, you're right.
Oh, you have to refrigerate it.
No, it just like is colder. I don't know. The marketing is really sus because it sounds absolutely revolting, disgusting.
It does.
But I was like, I need some sort of lotion after the shower. And I grabbed it at my friend's house and it was delightful. But then it was like $40. It's like, I can't buy $40 body yogurt. How much do you think David's body milk is? Because I feel like it's probably more than $40.
It was a big bottle. Yeah. It's definitely like $80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it that I use? Hold on. Okay. So my hands, sorry, I have it near my desk because my hands get so dry.
What kind of creepy lotion do you have nearby?
Why is it creepy? Why is it creepy?
I don't know. I mean, it might be creepy.
It's not my favorite, I will say. But I do personally like body cream. I'm a body cream girly, not a body lotion girly, because body cream is thicker. This is the almond and vanilla from Bath and Body Works.
Not sponsored.
It has essential oils. It has olive oil in it, apparently.
Could be sponsored.
I prefer body cream to body lotion.
Maybe Jess is taking like backhands from like Big Dairy, who are like, we've got to get in on this like beauty game. Let's make body dairy things and just like cycle through. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything we're missing? Is there body cheese? That sounds horrid.
No! Body cheese?
But
no!
Like, what else is there that they can go through? We've got milk, butter, yogurt.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Body eggs.
No.
We have eggs.
Hold up. Oh, those EOS lip balms are kind of in an egg.
Those are garbage, though. Can we all agree? Those people are trash. They're not. First of all, the shape, not conducive to putting in a pocket, not really conducive for anything. Second of all, they don't work. Like, they're garbage chapstick. I say chapstick. I know it's a lip balm. They're garbage is the point. Okay. I do like, I'm not, this is not sponsored, but
what do you got now?
I have.
If you gotta do the whole beauty blogger thing. You gotta hold it up the handbar.
Can you see it?
We got Nivea.
Nivea.
Wow. Nivea. How do you know her?
Yeah. What do you, and Stuart has Evian, so.
Not sponsored, people, yeah. Okay?
Bougie bitches over here.
Anyway. But anyway, we're talking about Schitt's Creek, even though that's not what we're talking about right now. Sarah, you requested this episode very long time ago. Like, I'm talking when we were covering season one. You were like, I need the Moira Rose's Rose Garden episode.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta be specific. I feel as though I didn't know anything else that happened on this episode except for that one joke at the very end of the episode, which I do think is the funniest bit in the entire in the entire Schitt's Creek series. It cracks me up, but honestly, I would have never signed up for an episode that talks about lice. I feel like the fact that I am here and I have to talk for 45 minutes to an hour about lice, I'd rather drown myself, but
you chose this for yourself.
I know, but like, I don't know how I got here because I don't like bugs. I don't like the outdoors. I don't like horse girls. I really don't like horse girls, and I don't like lice, and just lice in general gives me the heebie-jeebies and scabies too. And ticks and fleas. I hate all little bugs that are on other things. And the fact that I have to talk about it, but that is my fault because I literally was just like, give me the episode that has Moira's Gardens, Rose's.
And literally the title is Stop Saying Lice.
Oh, I didn't ask. I just said, get me that episode. And you said, okay. I was like, what season is it? Is it season one? You're like, no, it's season three. I said, that doesn't sound
this
right, but okay.
Is hilarious because I had come into this expecting you to come in with an anecdote about lice, like an outbreak in your school and you being like the only one not to get it or something. But the garden?
Yes.
A small tag-on joke at the very end?
Yes. I think it's the funniest shit in the galaxy. I really do. I have no antidotes of lice except for the fact that I remember in elementary school, there was like lice day where everybody like lined up in the gym and they were inspecting for lice.
Ew, yes. Ooh. I remember this. Did they do this in the UK, Stuart? I remember this. Ew.
No, we used to just get like letters sent home going, oh, someone's had lice. Make sure you clean your kid's hair. And then they'd give you the free combs and
I feel like it happened.
We never really had outbreaks, though.
It probably happened around the same time as like scoliosis checks. And if like you either had scoliosis or lice, your social capital plummeted to the floor. So I was just like I was like, I'm already so unpopular. Like, please, my God's up above. Like, please don't let me have lice. I can't handle this. This would be so bad for my social life. And thank goodness I never got lice. But then again, like I said, I never went outside as a child. Still very pale. So I was safe.
Wow.
Yeah. Really brought up your social capital.
All I remember about lice with school was like they would check your head with a comb and then you got to keep the comb. And I remember all day the boys would be like combing their hair and stuff with the comb. And then they would get them taken away in class because they'd be like throwing them. And you know how it is. Like kids just messing around with things they got.
Did your school just turn into like a school production of Grease for like one day?
Grease Lightning.
That's what I envisioned as well.
Everyone's what is it, not a greaser. Thank you. Anyway, let's talk about this episode. Let me do a little quick recap and then we will get into our thoughts on everything that happened in this episode. There's a lice outbreak at the motel thanks to Alexis's horse girl schoolmate. Johnny panics, forcing the guests to get an extra sheet change with no explanation, making him look like a major creeper. Alexis is caught scrounging for dog lice shampoo by Ted, and Ted is just the best little vet guy ever and offers to clean Alexis's scalp for her. David flips at the thought of having lice and forces Stevie to have a platonic sleepover, despite the fact that Patrick offers him a place to stay. But it is a nice chance to see Stevie and David catch up because they've both been just successful entrepreneurs and really haven't had a chance to hang out much. And they have some like cute little slumber party boy chat, which is fun. Moira, of course, is being honored with a rose garden in town. But it turns out Johnny asked Roland to put in the rose garden and offered to fund it because a theater that was previously named after Moira has had a name change. One of the ushers died in a fire. Moira is not into the idea of her name being memorialized in this town, especially not because her husband paid for it. And of course, when the plaque comes in, it unfortunately says the Moira's Roses Garden 4356, which are not the date of her birthday. In fact, it is the last four digits of Johnny's credit card. So that's our episode, Stuart.
And he paid extra for them as well. Johnny's useless. I mean, we've been saying it for a while. He's freaking useless. How did this guy run a company? I'll never know.
It's such a dad move, though, to like mess up the engraving and all the... I love Alexis being like, I think they missed an apostrophe. We need more apostrophes.
Are we the roses? Are we going to get buried here? Alexis was asking the right questions in that situation.
Also, I low-key love how Alexis doesn't know her mother's birthday, because when David asks what does 4356 mean, she's like, obviously mom's birthday, David. Like, obviously.
I was having a bit of PTSD flashbacks to the pin number thing.
Yes.
The date. I was like, no, not this again.
I did look it up, and it's not even far off from Catherine O'Hara's real birthday. Her birthday is March 4th, 1954. Oh, so, like, it's great. Actually quite close. Swap some numbers over.
I mean,
minus a couple years.
It works like in the real date format, as we were discussing earlier, Jess. If you actually put the date before the month, which is correct.
I'm with you that Americans do it in the dumbest way possible. It should go day, month, year, because you are increasing in size. That makes sense. We don't do it that way. And we've all lived this way. I've lived this way for 30 plus years. So it's going to be hard to get my mind to wrap around the other way of doing it.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to learn centimeters for work. This is like my big thing, because I use a lot of centimeters within my profession. And the fact, like, I always have to convert centimeters and millimeters to inches and feet. It's a real pain in the butt. So that's my biggest mission right now.
I mean, wow. It makes sense. Like, I like, because they're more divisible, they're better and things, but then, like, being able to just, like, use your thumb to, like, measure some things does help, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is a thumb an inch?
Yeah.
Like, about-ish.
They say that, like, one of the little indexes is...
Like the knuckle between? Inch.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That's what do you call, you know, how, like, your thumb is separated in thirds?
It's one third of your index finger.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's an easy way to pick out an inch. Of course, everybody's fingers are different sizes. But then again, like, no foot is exactly 12 inches. Like, only people's specific feet are 12 inches. You know what I mean?
Actually. I wonder what size is actually a foot. Like, what size shoe? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, these are things that we just need to know, but our mysteries, we'll never figure them out.
Yeah. I can Google a size 14, but I don't know if that's men's or women's.
Another mystery. How will we ever get to the bottom of it?
I think it has to be women's, which means that's a size 12 in men's.
Right.
Which makes sense
because 12 is a foot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. One mystery solved. Yeah. Sarah, what do you want to talk about first? Would you like to talk about Alexis's lice? Would you like to talk about Moira's Roses Garden?
No.
The lice.
Yeah, I need to get it over with because it haunts me. I swear, if I ever got lice or a tick, if I got a tick, my life would literally be over.
So I would have died multiple times. My dogs would be way dead. Like, extra, extra dead.
No,
ticks are so common around here. Like, and it's getting worse because of global warming, because it's warmer when it shouldn't be. So, like, literally in the middle of winter last year, I found a tick on my dog, and I was I was just aghast because that's unusual.
Yeah, Belle had a tick, and I almost told her it's time for her to go to the farm, but she could stay.
Oh, my God.
That's horrid.
She stayed. She's here.
She should be glad. But Alexis gets lice, and I love the move of, like, I'm not gonna go to the store and buy lice shampoo because it's far too embarrassing. Instead, I'm going to steal dog lice shampoo from the vet's office.
Smart move, I thought. Like, sweat your assets, like, kind of take advantage of all the privileges you've got. And we already know that she's like dipping into the cupboards at the vet practice, mm-hmm. and like kind of, yeah, microdosing through her day, having a great old time. It makes total sense. Plus, you know, if it's going to be for like the pets, it's going to be that industrial stuff, right? So you know it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Might not help with the kind of glossy hair. I don't know. Maybe like it's not going to be the
shiny
best.
Coat.
Well, maybe you give her a shiny coat. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I doubt it's going to really gel with like a good hair care routine. But yeah. It'll certainly work.
But the biggest problem, Sarah, is that it's not really about the cleaning product as much as it is about combing them out of your scalp.
Yeah, that is unfortunate because I wish that was as easy as just shampooing your head and then all of your problems just evaporated. I think I found one thing that could help that. Nair.
I don't think anyone should put Nair on their head.
Well, I'm just saying that if you put Nair on your head, then you lose all your hair and then you probably don't have life.
Do you have Nair?
Oh, I think we call it Veet over here. Like you put it on. It
Nair
just
is like
a
90s
right, yeah.
brand. I don't even, does Nair still exist? I know there are other brands that make it, but yeah, it's a hair mm-hmm. removal thing, which I also think you'd have to still shave your head because I don't know that it would work on like long hair, but
I don't know.
That just seems awful. I do love Moira saying, I presume you shaved her head.
Yeah.
Sarah's reaction is literally Alexis's reaction. I'm pretty sure I have a soundbite of Sarah finding out the actual episode that she was told she would be covering today. Let me just play
it. No!
That was Sarah.
That's horrid.
I mean, seriously, that would be my reaction. And then it's just like, oh, I have to like box up all the wigs and I have to mm-hmm. like throw out all the brushes. It would just be so bad. I would really, really die. And like, that's the thing. Like, it's funny because like later on that like couple that was really creeped out was like, oh, you know, like that's no biggie. Like our 6-year-old had lice last year. Like it is very scary to me that the closer I am to potentially having a child, the more I could get in contact with lice is so upsetting. Because kids have lice. That's where like it comes from.
And it's gross.
Got it from the worst girl.
They're disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because she lives in a motel, this is like, and she apparently helped Johnny change the sheets in some of the rooms in the motel. Instead of Johnny just saying, my daughter has lice, can I please come change your sheets? He's like being mm-hmm. creepy about it. Like he's weirding them out. He's talking about the woman's ponytail. He's checking her hairbrush. Like lie, Johnny. Say your daughter is 6. Like just lie. I think that's the move, Stuart, is just lie.
Yeah. Johnny has this weird thing where he doesn't want to tell the truth. And then when he's given an opportunity to lie, he chooses not to. And it's like, buddy, pick the right time to tell the truth and when to lie. Because if you were to flip it around, that would have gone seamlessly. It would have been perfect. And he wouldn't have come off as a massive creeper. But instead, he does. Also, why is Johnny getting Alexis to help him do his job? Like, Alexis doesn't drag him to the vets to, like, go and do all the bookings or anything. David's not, I mean, maybe he's roping in Alexis. Why is Alexis helping everyone with their jobs? Because she helps David at the shop. I'm sure she's going to end up at the town council at some point.
Yeah, especially because she has a job herself. Like, it'd be different if she didn't have a job. But she, first of all, she's going to school and has a job.
Yeah.
Wow. She really
and
shouldn't
other
be doing
people's
any
jobs.
Of this.
Alexis is the best. I've been saying it for a while, but Alexis truly is the best character.
Plus, I thought her hair looked really good this episode. Despite the lice, her hair looked great.
Are you roasting her hair normally?
No. I just think it looked especially good this episode.
Okay. That was very nice of you.
Yeah.
We're so used to on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, like making fun of everybody's hair, that if I had said
to you, can't tell
like,
anymore.
Oh, yeah. If I said Felicity's hair looks really good today, it'd be like, well, it's because normally her hair looks really terrible.
Yeah. No, I just I thought the like nice beachy waves looked like really great on Alexis. And I liked the inventiveness to be like, I have lice, let me just put a little headscarf on the top for, you know, temporarily.
Just on the top though. Like, yeah. With all the
hair. Well, they're on your scalp, aren't they? Like, do they come down to the bottoms?
I don't know.
I can't talk about the lights. It's like, I'm getting itchy.
I purely do not know. I do like the fact that she was like, I'm just going to steal. Like, that is that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And I really don't think that Ted would have cared.
Well, no, because it's obviously what they end up using on her head when he helps her, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's very obvious that she's not talking about a new patient, Meredith, that she's talking about herself. And I just love it. I love Ted knowing he's like, can we drop the whole, like, your friend thing? Like, we both know it's you that has the lice. Like, I just, yeah. It was very sweet. I love their interactions. And we've been a lot more intimate than this, Ted.
Mm-hmm. I just he gets her, and like he's kind of, since he's become like more confident and stuff, and maybe it comes about from the kind of maybe a bit of a dodgy situation of being her boss and stuff, but like, I think like the power dynamic is slowly kind of realigning a little bit between them, which is kind of healthy for them. I also love the fact that Ted's love of puns is still being kind of shown. Mm-hmm. When she's like, I didn't want to bug you on the weekend, and he's like, huh, bug me. Like, he's just not here for it at all. She's like, and just sighs. But he's having a great time. But he was like, when he was combing all of the lice out, like, he didn't really do it in a way that made it seem as if she wasn't absolutely riddled with them. I was like, this is horrid. He was like clumping them out. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, but here's the thing, he is a vet, so I do think like this is kind of the perfect person to be doing this, because like,
yeah,
I love animals, they're also disgusting, like they get so gross, and if he's had to do this on animals, and as a vet, he's doing all sorts of gross things with animals, so it really is like, he's not going to be grossed out by this, because it's really like, it's at least he said they're attracted to nice clean scalps, so mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing that would console me. Honestly,
your scalp is so clean, Sarah, despite the fact that you have
It's so clean that the lice want to hang out with you because you're mm-hmm. so clean. That would change everything around. So the fact that Ted said that really, really helped Alexis and me mm-hmm. in that situation. And I think that he looks very good this episode. And I'm used to looking at him and thinking that he's super ugly because of my new favorite movie, Hot Frosty. But he looks good in this show.
He has a beard. He's benching 220 or something. 225.
Yeah.
He's got the guns out. Ted is looking better and better every episode.
Get even more savings this holiday season by becoming a Milo's Rewards member. Don't miss new member deals dropping every week, like $15 off a purchase of $50 or more on select Bounty, Charmin, and Puffs paper products. Plus, get free standard shipping with Silver Key status. Just one more way Lowe's is here to help you shop, save, and enjoy the holidays. Join for free today. Milo's Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. Exclusions and more terms apply. Visit Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
let's talk about David's reaction to the lice. Stuart, what did you think of the shower cap with a beanie on top?
If you're going to wear a beanie to cover a shower cap, make sure it covers the shower cap. Like, it being present underneath, like, was so irritating. So I was like, David, you're telling me that you didn't look in the mirror before you walked out the house? Like,
especially after Stevie told him. Then he should fix it. Especially because he's about to go see Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. He's still operating under this pretense that there's nothing really happening, that they're just business partners. I'm just like, buddy, come on. No, we're all seeing it, right?
Do you think that it's not obvious to him? Like, and he's the only one that doesn't see it? Because he doesn't have, like, great self-confidence within himself, so he can't imagine that anybody would be interested in him like that? Or do you think, like, he knows and he's just, like, too bashful to share it?
I think it's multiple things. I think it's he doesn't want to assume that Patrick is into him because he's playing it safe. I think that's certainly an aspect. I also think because he mentions this at the sleepover with Stevie about, like, I forget exactly how he worded it, but the way I interpreted it was, I don't know what his sexuality is. Like, I don't know if Patrick is straight or not. So I think there's that aspect too. Like, maybe he thinks he's just a nice guy. And I also think because they're in business together, I think that also really complicates it for David. I think he both has a lot, both monetarily and, like, emotionally invested in the store. But I think he also could see Patrick as just being, like, a nice business partner who, like, isn't actually interested in him. So to me, it's like multiple things operating so that David is very much like trying to push this out of his mind. But Stuart, what do you think?
I think you're right. And this could be like a few different things going on, but I certainly think that there is also a blindness to it because I don't think that it's something that he is on his radar. Like, he's almost like willingly being like, no, that too much going on to even consider that as a possibility, which is maybe playing in his favor because he's doing the whole almost like hard to get, aloof kind of thing, which I think is maybe like, because Patrick is flirting. Like, there's no way Patrick isn't flirting with him, right? Because
definitely, especially the scene where Stevie and Patrick meet for the first time, which was very exciting. The fact that they're both like ragging on him and like making fun of him, obviously we know Stevie and him are just friends at this point, like it's very platonic, but it's very much a way that like you're just poking at someone a little bit, not negging, but just like poking at something, like the ridiculousness of the body milk thing.
I think that it's such a fun it's such a fun interaction when, not that David and Patrick or anything, but when two people that you're close with don't know each other, but know you come together, and there is that like roasting element, or like, because the common denominator between like your two people is you. So the way that they bond is to kind of like dunk on you and neg at you. And I think like that's such like a fun like interaction to like witness. And of course, like David's like, I really hate this like uneven like social dynamic we've got here. Like, it's like super unfair, but also it's just like, it's obviously the dream for somebody that you might be kind of into and your best friend to get on like that. Like, that's what you want. You want like the dynamic to be what like Stevie and Patrick were doing. So it was really fun to see. And it's just like, once again, it just like shows like the potential of what their dynamic could be like as a couple and as like a trio of friends. I feel like it's a lot of fun when like your best friend and your partner get together and they talk shit and you're just like, can you stop it? Like, stop saying the embarrassing things. Stop telling my most embarrassing secrets, or like the time that I had like toenail fungus. Like, please stop sharing these things. But, you know, it's just funny.
Yeah. And I think it would also be a really good thing of flipping that switch in David's brain and being like, oh, these two get on really well and I'm the common denominator. So maybe this is something that could possibly percolate and could be a kind of thing. I don't want it to be rushed, what I want to happen. Like, I want it to be a thing.
I think that's totally fair. And I love Stevie's, yet again, Stevie being the most supportive friend and like so lovely. Like she, you know, she doesn't have to, especially after he discovers the extra toothbrush and is like questioning her and roasting her for this extra toothbrush and basically roasting her apartment, which he's seeing for the first time. Kind of wild considering they've been friends for, I can't remember, I'll have to pull up my spreadsheet, but it's a year now they've been friends and he has not seen her apartment in this tiny, tiny town. I love that she's so supportive for him. And I love her saying, I like this for you. Like, you seem flustered. Like, it's sweet in a way that only a really good friend can be like that. You know, where they're the ones who will tell you the truth of like, you idiot, he obviously likes you. Like, come on. Like, this happened to me too. Like, with my husband. Like, I wasn't sure. And I like sending my friend like text exchanges between me and Will. And they'd be like, come on, like to the point where I didn't know that Snapchat like told someone. Yeah. This is when Snapchat was a thing. I didn't know Snapchat told someone when you took a screenshot of what they sent you. And I took a screenshot of something he sent me. And then I had to be like, oops, sorry, that was an accident.
You idiot.
I know. It was so dumb.
I know. And then you know that Will was like, yeah, I
should ask him. He probably did know, but he had to have. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that before, but it was when I was making fun of somebody. So that was, that was my fault. And honestly, the karma got me good there.
I'm dying of shame for you, Jess. I can't get over that. That would ruin me. I'd be like, if I was courting Will and that happened, wouldn't have happened because I would have like blocked, delete, changed, moved house. Like,
oh my gosh. See, this is when having ADHD and terrible short-term memory comes in handy because then you just move on to the next embarrassing thing that you do.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? But yeah, Stevie, I was also, Stuart, I was thinking of you when I watched this episode because I was so happy we got more Stevie David content. Like, it made me so happy. And they even say it on the show. They admit it. They're like, we haven't been seeing a lot of each other lately.
Yeah.
So I was just so, so happy to have their friendship back on the TV.
Yeah. And even if it's just a glimpse into Stevie's life, it doesn't, like, the fact that we now know that what type of apartment she lives in, we now know that she's a Sarah McLachlan fan. We now know that she has two eggs in a Ziploc bag. Like, for some reason, those details matter to me. Like, I think that the more we get to know Stevie, the better. And also, it is nice to see her exist outside of the motel and all the other kind of, like, I think we've only seen her in the cafe maybe a handful of times.
Yeah.
I think we've probably seen her mutts more than we have anywhere else, which is kind of concerning. So it's like to see her
Jake's to or see mutts
or Jake's, yeah, wherever the parties were, like,
oh, mutts. Whole... I thought you meant when her and David were like both dating Jake, but yes.
Oh,
yes,
no, no, but like to see more of her and like her existing in this place, but also seeing a little bit more of Schitt's Creek, like, and it being kind of a bit fleshed out and not just being, okay, well, it's this set and this set. Like, seeing a bit of variety, I'm never going to be unhappy about that at all.
Yeah, it's nice seeing Stevie, like, not be an NPC and, like, she's able to leave the place that she's normally confined to. Her apartment's a dump, though. Like, an absolute dump. I hate that place.
You didn't like the fact that she only had, like, two hard-boiled eggs in her refrigerator?
No, that was disgusting to me. Like, she had, like, a drink in a freezer. Like, I hated it.
She had the vodka in the freezer. That's a smart move.
Oh, it was a vodka. Like, oh, that's right.
It was vodka, yeah. Oh, the thing I was a little confused about is why the toothbrush was at the kitchen sink.
Because some people do that. They brush their teeth in the sink and in the kitchen.
In the kitchen sink?
Yeah. Some people do that, yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you live in a studio apartment, I would understand that. But I don't understand that for a regular apartment.
I don't know. I hated her apartment. If I was David, I'd be like, what is going on here?
She has,
like,
a modest income, Sarah. She doesn't have a guest bedroom. What is she, Bill Gates? Like, this is not something Stevie has.
I have a guest bedroom. You have a guest bedroom, and neither.
It's a line from the show. I know.
Neither of us are Bill Gates. Yeah, Stuart, do you have a guest bedroom in your newish apartment?
No. Do I seem like Bill Gates?
Like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I guess not. Yeah.
Yeah, so like a lot going on with David, and I really enjoyed the progress we got this episode in terms of like David and Stevie get a catch up. We get more like going on with David and Patrick. So that was all very exciting. Now let's talk about Moira, because Moira, Sarah, I want to know, how would you feel if you got a rose, if you, someone said to you, we would like to dedicate a rose garden with your name on it?
Oh my God, it would be like an absolute dream. I would be so thrilled.
Now, would you prefer the rose garden, a bench, or a tennis court?
The rose garden.
Okay, Stuart, what about you?
I mean, a bench is nice and simple, but like tennis court makes me feel as if I'm like more important. Like it's a bigger thing.
That's funny, because I was going to choose the bench. So we all chose something different. But I think the reason I like the bench so much is because it's Bob's bench and there's like alliteration there. So yeah. Like, but there's not much. What can I do with my name in alliteration? Like Jay, like what? Jess's juice? Like what are we doing? You know, like what is there? What is there's nothing. Jungle gym?
Yeah.
Jungle gym is what I was leaning on.
I would love a jungle gym in my honor.
There you go.
Yeah.
You got something. I mean,
if we go with alliteration for us, me and Sarah are going to have to find out for things.
There's a lot that starts with S, so you'd be fine.
I'll just take the rose garden. I'm fine. I don't need alliteration. I just think it's like very lovely. I mean, the theater, you didn't give me the theater as an option.
Well, no, because that's Lucy Albion's now.
Yeah, okay. It can't be mine. Definitely can't be mine.
She died, Sarah.
Yeah, okay. I know. In a fire.
That's which I love the one. They're very conservative with the F-bombs on the show. Mm-hmm. And so I love that the F-bomb we get in this episode is, who the F is Lucy Albion?
I don't know. It's absolutely nobody. Yeah. No. I know that, like, I know that he... oh my God, why?
Johnny,
thank you. I was just like, Eugene Levy. I was like, no. I know that Johnny bought it for her, which I thought was like very, very sweet. But if anybody named anything after me, I would be absolutely thrilled. Chuffed to bits, right, Stuart?
Chuffed to bits. Yes. Yeah. Bonus points. Well done. Would you want to like turn up with like the big ribbon and the scissors and be like, unveiling?
If I could make it the most extra experience,
you would bedazzle the scissors.
I would like milk it for like eons.
Body milk it.
I would body milk. Yeah, it's literally. I think it is one of my dreams to get something named after me. Like
I think the reason Moira isn't as excited about this is because she already has like so many things named after her.
Yeah.
And I think she's a little bit like embarrassed might be the word. Like she doesn't want her name in this town specifically. But I liked the conversation we got with Moira and Jocelyn. Jocelyn is a little too extreme. I think if you have an allergy to something, you should feel comfortable telling your partner that. And not just, you know, eating said thing and nearly dying. But I like her point of like, it would make Johnny happy for you to like accept the rose garden. So you should do that because he's doing it for you. I will say, going into this episode, I was like, Johnny, why are you making it so easy to give you disgruntled pelican points? But then he really turns it around with the rose garden. Like he messes it up, of course, but it's a very kind gesture that he knew she would be upset. And what did he say? She has a tendency to overreact to things.
Yeah.
And so he knew he would have to do something, Stuart.
Yeah, but like, is it him doing something sweet or is it Johnny just trying to, you know, buy himself some peace and quiet and not have to deal with Moira's reaction? Like, is it entirely a nice thing? I'm kind of leaning no, mostly because of... I don't know, maybe because of him being useless, I'm kind of judging him quite
Sarah,
hard.
Sarah, you need to give Stuart the lecture for Johnny that you gave me about Xander on Buffy the other day.
Oh, so you really hate Johnny? Really?
I don't really hate Johnny. I think I've just been really mean to him lately.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so like number one, as a person that doesn't have a dad, I feel as though I really... like love Johnny, especially as a father, because he's just like he's so warm and loving. And yeah, he's kind of like a doof, but like he's always there for his family. And I don't think that there is any like sort of like malicious or like nefarious reason for him to buy this like rose garden. Like, I don't think it was to like shut her up. I think it was purely like he knew that like once Moira found out that she lost the theater, she would just be so upset and bothered, and that like he just wanted to soften the blow. I really think that it was like, I know my wife like more than anybody else in the world. And he does, like, he really does like love Moira, and he puts her first in his world. And I think that like he was trying to find a way for her to like find like a little sparkle on her day. And he knows her, like he knows that if she found out, she would have flipped the F out about losing the theater. Because it's just like a punch in the gut. Like, it's bad enough that they lost their riches. It's bad enough they lost all their belongings. The only thing that Moira has at this point is all of her wigs. And, like, she lost everything. And it's just, like, one by one, things are getting taken away from her. She, and including this theater. So, like, I think that, like, and he knows that, like, it's partially his fault. Because, like, once again, he's a doofus. I don't remember what he did. He didn't pay his taxes. Something like that?
No, it was their financial person that like was fraudulent. So he really didn't, he just invested his money with the wrong person, essentially.
Okay.
But he didn't know.
Okay. But still, like, maybe he should have been like paying attention to his finances a little bit better. And like, obviously Moira was never the one like crunching the numbers. She just like spent the money. So I'm sure he kind of feels a little bit responsible in some sort of way that they're like stuck in this like ho-dunk town in the middle of nowhere. So I think that he just was doing it out of the kindness of his heart and to make her happy. I'm so shocked that you think that he's useless, because I think that he's great. This is one of the few shows that I feel like every single character I love a little in its own way. Maybe not Roland, he's a little grody, but like especially all of the roses, like all four of them, like I love them to bits.
It's so difficult because I really want to argue against you, but you opened with the line about a dead dad. And I'm like, well, well done. You've won the argument.
I mean, it's kind of cheap. So if you wanted to, like, if you wanted to say, like, your points against Johnny, like, no. Obviously.
I think you've articulated, like, a good actual logic with it is that, like, Johnny has, like, a load of guilt that he is obviously carrying with everything that's going on. He tries to fix things, and he is a trier, and is trying his best. My issue is just that his best tends to be fucking useless.
That's the thing. I feel like he usually is approaching things with a good heart, and he's like doing things for the quote unquote right reasons, as they say on The Bachelor. But I think it's the follow through that sometimes is lacking from Johnny. And Stuart, we've talked at length about Johnny having having a really hard time, and especially having a hard time before he got involved with the motel, because he wasn't the breadwinner and the rest of his family seems to be thriving and he's the one who's struggling. And so I view this as a way he could be like, I have some money maybe coming in now because of the motel. Like, I just want to make Moira's day a little bit better because I know she's going to be upset about this. So I really viewed it as like a selfless thing. But I think the bigger problem is, like, my guy, get double and triple check the plaque before you buy it, because I love Moira shading him, being like, he paid extra for those apostrophes. It's perfect.
Whether or not, like, he was successful in what he wanted, like, how he wanted to achieve it, he kind of did cheer her up a bit, because they all, like, got together and took the piss out of him. And that did kind of bring her a little bit of joy towards the end. So yeah, mission accomplished.
That is true. Yeah. I am so bad at proofreading my work. So I totally sympathize with Johnny, because he just needs a good proofreader. Like I do. I like everything that I write is just looks like it's being written by a child. So
I'm queen of typos, and I never fix them if I'm talking to my friends, because I know they'll get the gist. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the need to go back and correct myself. Mm-mm. They know what I mean.
Yeah.
Complete offset. I will. Stuart, I will edit, typo. Delete to my heart's content. I'm like, no, this is wrong.
I don't have time for that. The problem is when you have ADHD, your brain just works so quickly that it's a struggle enough to get everything out, like onto the page before it goes away from your brain. So it's like, nope, it's there, it's gone. Boom, done. On to the next.
I obsess over it to the point where I'm like, no, what if they misinterpret it? What if they think I'm an idiot? What if I do this? Ah, no, worry, anxious. Anxiety.
It's okay, Stuart. You just have to realize that, like, most people think that you're an idiot. Not you, me. And then once they know, like, oh, this bitch is stupid, then,
this is like what Alexa says. No one cares.
Yeah, the no one cares. He is off. It's just like, it's fine. Like, if you want to think I'm dumb, that's okay. I'll cry about it when you tell me it in a 1-star review. But besides that, it's none of my business.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of, anything else we want to talk about before we get into some feedback for the week? Okay, I'll bring us into some feedback. We got a message from Trish saying, I think this episode is one of the weakest this season. I'm not a fan of Johnny's interactions with the guest couple. The biggest positive was Stevie and David admitting they haven't been hanging out as much, which is bad, but it's because they're both doing so well, which is good. Stevie also pointing out to David that what we all can see was a high friendship moment. What do you think, Stuart?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the strongest episode. I certainly don't think it's the weakest of the season, though. That was last week, certainly. Like, for me, yeah. I don't think many episodes are going to get as trying as that one was. But yeah, like, having the whole Stevie pointing it out, I think, is just fantastic. I think it's the dynamic that we've been hoping for ever since the whole thing between them just didn't work out, and we were just begging them to kind of move on from it. I love the direction it's all going in. I love the fact that we are getting kind of decent friendship out of Stevie and David, and we're getting Stevie kind of pushing towards Patrick, which is, yeah.
Stevie should make all David's life decisions because she's been really good at it so far.
She has. Although she has suggested smoking, like, joints that they found in the hotel under the bed.
I mean, no one died, so...
True.
And she just offered. She didn't say, you should smoke this. She's like, would you like to smoke this with me?
Fair play. Yeah. It doesn't seem like the best advice, though.
No, certainly not. It could be laced with anything. Yeah. We also got a YouTube comment from TestKF2ZV. Sorry, that was tough. I think this episode was... this was last episode. So this is talking about Sebastian Rain. Sebastian Rain. I think that this episode was necessary in helping us understand why David is the way that he is, because I do think Sebastian played a major role in a lot of David's anxieties and insecurities. So it's hard to watch, but I see why they went there. I also love that we get to see just how protective David is once again.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And again, like, yeah, seeing the source of David's anxieties, but seeing him overcome them was a really good thing. So yeah, not to labor the point that I was disappointed with last week's episode, but there were good parts to it, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's get into our ratings. First, simply the best, our MVP of the episode. Stuart, who is your MVP? Who is simply the best?
It's got to be Ted for me. Like, he was there. He came in with a bit of a jokey pun. No, is it? I don't know. I think the pun's really carrying it. And like, it was a really short pun as well. But yeah, I'm going to go with Ted. I'm going to go with my instinct on this one.
Okay. Sarah, what about you?
I think we're going to go with Stevie. I think Stevie was a really good friend to David. I think that she let him sleep over, which at first she did not want to do. And then she gave really solid advice. And I think that they were able to get through the fact that they haven't spent a lot of time together and that, like, they would like to spend time together. And Yeah. And I really liked her interactions with Patrick. That was a lot of fun too. So I think it's definitely Stevie for me.
Despite the fact that you hate her apartment.
Oh yeah, no, her apartment's an absolute dump, but maybe David can fix it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give my point to Stevie. I think she gives great advice to David. I think she's a very supportive friend. And I like that she doesn't out him right away when he says, oh, well, Stevie already invited me. Like, she does. She doesn't say, no, mm-hmm. I didn't. Like, she says that to him later, but not in front of Patrick. So I appreciate them catching up and just being, oh, they're just like the best of friends. I love them so much. They're one of the better TV friendships, I think. I don't know if this is a spicy take. I just feel like their TV friendship is one of my favorites. Not on like Joey Chandler levels, but like, it's great, you know? Yeah. Okay, disgruntled pelican time. Sarah, let's go to you first. Who do you think is a disgruntled pelican this episode? Who was your least fave?
Can I say the lice or like the horse girl?
No, you can't.
Kelsey. I literally looked up her name to ask the same question.
No, you cannot blame horse girl. No.
It is her fault though.
I know, but like we're never going to even, we don't even know what she looks like.
I bet she looks like a horse.
That's rude. Yeah.
Maybe like Moira, because she was rejecting the rose garden, which is so rude. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, like, obviously Johnny was like such a dingus in those times, but he was very sweet. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll put you down for Moira then, because she rejected Moira Rose's
garden.
Stuart, what about you? Who is your disgruntled pelican?
I'm in a pickle because there was a very compelling argument that I've, as I said, I couldn't argue against because a certain card was played. But F it, Johnny, he's the worst. He's useless. He got the plaque wrong. He got his daughter to help with the sheets. He was awkward with the guests. Do better, buddy. I believe in you. I think you can do it. But just do it.
Do better.
I'm picking someone that neither one of you picked. And there are two reasons why I'm picking this person.
If you pick the lice, I'm going to beat you up.
I'm not going to pick the lice. I'm picking a human being.
Oh, okay.
This Wait, person.
Who?
First of all, this person, it is one of my pet peeves when men call women honey. And not as like a term of endearment. And secondly, he repeatedly is giving his wife food that is giving her rashes. And that's not okay. And I'm sorry. Maybe Jocelyn should speak up, but maybe he should use his eyes and see that she can barely breathe. So Roland is getting my disgruntled pelican point. The honey pissed me off right away. I can't.
Honey, it's about legacy.
I just can't. It upsets me so, so much. Roland is getting my plus I really love Johnny, and I think my husband will just like divorce me if I keep giving him disgruntled pelican points because of how much he loves Johnny. Also, I did check in with him to see if he remembered the whole Snapchat debacle. He says he doesn't remember, but I probably trusted your word on that because I don't know.
Wow.
That's true. You know what, that is true, because Will is very loyal, as I always say. Mm-hmm. And I feel as though, like, if he trusts you, then he like trusts your word.
Yeah, he wouldn't think twice about it, probably. Yeah.
Good egg.
So those are our ratings. And luckily enough for us, Stuart, we do have a Moira wig to talk about.
Finally.
Yeah.
What in the My Chemical Romance is going on here?
What in the Hot Topic? Yeah. What in the Manic Panic is happening on Moira's head?
This might not be a winner.
Yeah. It's very goth, which I think the problem is, Stuart, is like Moira often does wear black. So I think it's just a little bit too much then when you add in a black wig with like a red streak in it.
But why the red streak? Like, what is the choice happening here? Like, all of the others seem to have gone along with this kind of like town councillor business kind of attire that she's been going for.
Yeah.
And then this just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Can I tell you the immediate thing I think of when I see this wig?
Mm-hmm.
I think of, where are you?
Yeah.
Like, it's like very like emo-y, you know?
Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Time.
That's all I think of. It's not a win. And the necklace is like a chain bib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, again, we got to give extra bonus points to Catherine O'Hara's neck for putting up with all of this exertion, you know? It's just so much.
Strong neck.
Yeah.
Very, very strong neck.
Bench is 225.
Her neck bench is 225.
Bob's bench is 225.
I love Bob so much. I was so happy when we got a little scene with like him, Ronnie, and Roland, because I especially love when they're talking about what is it, the tennis courts are like a hot makeout spot for teens, and Bob's like, the bench too.
The bench too. Yeah.
even though the net was stolen.
Yeah.
Apparently
yeah.
So. Yeah. Be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is that time. It is time to tier rank this episode. So as a reminder, our tiers are Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, Ew, David, and Shit Out of Luck. Stuart, do you have an inkling of where you think this belongs? Last week we were very tough on Sebastian Rain and it ended up being Ew, David.
Yeah, which is surprising. We've got two in that tier now, which is kind of wild.
We do, yeah.
I'm thinking right in the middle, like dead in the middle, Love That Journey for Me. Possibly lower than Rooms by the Hour.
Interesting.
But higher than The Thruple.
I think I agree with Love That Journey for Me, but I think okay. I would put it above Rooms by the Hour, below The Affair, maybe even above The Affair. I don't know. Sarah, what do you think?
I mean, like, I third that Love That Journey for Me is where it belongs, and not to be like a middle man, but I think I would put it between 3.9 and 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah. So between The Affair and Rooms by the Hour.
Yeah. I think that that's where this belongs.
I think that fits.
Yeah. I don't think any particular scene in this one was as funny as like Jocelyn's reaction to The Affair.
And chocolate like, sauce.
Yeah. I think that's still so absurd and stupid. And like her talking about how irresistible Roland is, it's just absurd. So that still needs to be maintained. But yeah, just a smidge below.
Yeah, I like it. So that is where it's going to end up in
Love That Journey for Me.
Beautiful.
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 Yeah.
Incredible. Well, next week's episode is season 3, episode 12. Friends and Family.
That's so vague. That could be anything. Title.
What is it going to be about, Stuart?
Okay, let's think. I mean, family reunion. No, they would have called it a family reunion if it was anything like that. I don't know. Maybe it's just a wholesome episode where, I don't know.
Who's to say?
Everyone comes Not together. Me. I have no thoughts.
All right, well, that is for next week. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us and talking about Lice, even though you didn't want to, even though you signed up to do it.
You got through it.
I did get through it. I'm a survivor. I had a lot of fun.
Where can people find you if they want to see more of what you're up to?
Yeah, Jess and I do Shit 90s Shows Taught Me. We cover Felicity and Buffy and other 90s movies. We did this really fun bonus podcast that's coming out, I think, this weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, where basically I got to come to work and do absolutely freaking nothing, just like Alexis, and just had to be the Ted and do all the work. And she watched the movie and then relayed it to me through PowerPoint presentation. And
slides. We do not speak of PowerPoint.
Sorry, slides. I forgot about that lesson. And I just got to like listen and react, and it was a lot of fun. And then you can also find me, supporting my fellow podcasters at Whirlwind Pods that cover everything from Doctor Who to Pretty Little Liars to Veronica Mars and pretty much like everything in between. So check us out at Whirlwind Pods and at Shit 90s Pod.
Incredible. Stuart, what about you? Are you now on the blue ski?
I am on the blue ski, yeah. Stuart Drinks Tea on all the socials. Yeah, we don't talk about the other one. Get that in the bin. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, Blueski's fun. It's got like old school Twitter vibes. I like
it. Yeah, Blueski's popping off right now. So yeah, find me at the Just Sterling. And over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, like Sarah was saying, we're having tons of fun over there. But in the meantime, next week we'll be covering season 3, episode 12 of Schitt's Creek. Make sure you're following us and subscribe to us on YouTube because we want to get up to 200 subscribers, people. So we appreciate every subscriber we have. And until next week, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.